Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, listeners. My name is Sandra Bueno, and I welcome you on Blog Talk Radio and the Power to Be You show. Today is December 28th. It is our Thursday one-hour show where I bring about an expert, a leader, a visionary, and a contributor. And on today's segment, we will be having an expert who I've met recently and who I am able to see eye to eye, whereas when we talk about awareness, distinctions, vision, purpose, essence, core, knowing who you are and knowing really where we stand as a society in moving forward and what it is that we need to do, he is going to be able to share so much knowledge, so much experience and testimony that it is my pleasure, it is truly an honor to be able to bring him on this show. I am so grateful that he is able to spend an hour with us to share his expertise. And before I introduce him, I would like to just give you a brief background on who he is. He is an international expert in metaphysics, marketing, business, and life. He is one of the few people in the world to hold an MBA and a PhD in metaphysics. He is internationally known. He is bilingual. He has published over 10 resources, and to include his groundbreaking book, Get Out of Neutral, Manifest the Life Experience You Desire. Now, he is well-known in the speaker sector. He resides here in Florida, and he is also an internet marketing guru, if you'd like to say that word, but I will let you listen to him, and his name is J.B. Glossinger. You can also go to his website at jbglossinger.com, and as he presents himself, he will be able to give you more information on how you can gain access to the wealth of information and knowledge that he holds. So at this time, I'd like to welcome JB on the line. Are you on, JB?
Yes, I'm here. If you can hear me all right.
Yes, excellent. Definitely hear you. Welcome and thank you.
And thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate being on here today.
Well, it's just, you know what, I'm excited, and I think that excitement comes through because I really feel that you hold something that's very unique in your hands and in your soul and in your spirit, simply because you are able to share a distinction from a different angle of life. The fact that you have this training, this education, the experience, where I think you're able to bring about a lot of validity, a lot of data that when it comes to people really recognizing our purpose and who we are in our core, you're able to not only come from a place of heart, but you're also able to bring about a lot of evidence and truth that people can't deny.
Well, the key thing is being very pragmatic or practical, even though, you know, we want to say we're creating our reality and we want to go into this deep metaphysical area. You know, people just want some steps to go on and some deep truths, and that pragmatic area is really where we want to operate in. You know, it can tend to go either way, and we've got to really keep it practical.
Now, when you say the word, because let me tell people that also your book, Get Out of Neutral, Manifest the Life Experience You Desire, is a book that you've written, and whereby you share your story of how, what your story of success, for a lack of a better term, but it also sets itself forward to be read as not only as a journal, but also as a guiding, what can I say, a guiding venue through which one can go through this experience and eventually truly get to a place where you are able to manifest what's really inherently within you.
Well, I think that's one of the critical components, and the reason that I really wrote the book was as a primer. You know, we all have trouble sitting down and reading a lot of documents and really getting through a huge book based on metaphysical principles. So the whole goal of the book was to come with a real easy to understand practical way to gain access to some of these new insights, and that's what we did. We made it very simple and easy to read, so you can read it in a weekend. You don't have to read this long book, and we wanted to get it out to the masses. And as we talked about before, and as I like to talk about, you know, we want to help society waken out of this dream state and really manifest that life experience that people really are after. And that gets really deep, which I'm sure we're going to talk to a little bit. But that's why where the book came from was just a primer to open up everybody's eyes, or even myself. You know, as you write, you actually get stronger and better in what you teach. So, you know, as I tell everybody that listens to me or comes sees me or wherever I'm at, is I'm just as much as a student of this whole, you know, game of life as anybody else.
Well, tell me something. How long did it take you to put this book together?
Well, the book actually, it's like a lot of things in life. You know, it was in my mind for about 5 years, and I had a real transformation from a hardcore conservative business person to finding that success that I thought was success, and then realizing that, you know what, this word, which is, you know, words limit meanings, and what I thought was this success that really had a limited meaning really wasn't success. And when I did that 180, I said, you know what, I'm gonna make a change in my life, and as I do this, I want to kind of document what happens. And so the book was kind of a process, and then like everything else in life, it was just a decision I made. And I sat down and finalized it over 6 months, and in that 6 month period is where the work really got done.
See, I like when I, because of course, ever since I met you, I took the book and I started and I began reading and to be prepared for today, but also to see your take, because I know that when you and I met, you said to me, "Well, Sandra, you have it. You know what, you know what we're talking about and what we're referring to, and what I'd like to bring about is the fact that you are, you know, the fact that you worked with, it was aeronautics. Am I correct?"
Correct. Yeah, I was in the aerospace industry for about 12 years, I believe, was my span.
And within that, where your venue, where you walk, where you speak, the people that you come across, you're dealing with a lot of, you know, you talk in your book, you talk about ego, and
yeah,
you're talking about, you know, the mind, and you're talking about labels, and you're talking about all of these things that we hold and the perceptions and the limitations that we have in our minds. And when you look at the society in which we live and you look at the people that create these different groups that I referred to just before, a lot of these people tend to be people who do not really hold a strong, a strong essence of who we are spiritually.
Yes, agreed. And that's the big issue is really, you know, and one of the things that I really specialize is this study of human potential. And that's really what I think my expertise at the end of the day is about, is human potential. And in studying that, I realize that, you know, there are a lot of great teachers that are teaching us to go out and manifest amazing lives, but at what cost? And what are we really trying to manifest? And when I started looking at all the personal development and all the stuff that I studied for years that I used to get to where I was running an aerospace company at a very young age on the board of directors, you know, that dream life, you know, the rags to riches story that we always talk about. I used all those techniques, the neuro-linguistic program, neuro-associative conditioning, to get to that point in my life that was just amazing. And I loved those techniques. But what I saw was missing was when I got to the end of the rainbow, supposedly, it was very empty and cold, and what I realized is I was never congruent with this spirit, with this power that's inside of us, to really set those goals, and what had stopped me was this ego. So I was creating and going out there and trying to become this person based on egoic want, and as I went out there and did that, I achieved it, but I didn't achieve that true success, that happiness, that peace. And so I looked at all the self-help literature and a lot of stuff out there and said, you know what, we've got to put that piece first, because if we don't really realize what we're after and we don't get that clarity, then we're continually searching. We can never find that true happiness, and we can, you know, continue to move forward in the greatness that we are, because we'll never find that peace, and that's the most important thing.
And I am right now, I'm taking notes because you hit on so many different areas and levels. And what I really think, I believe that you and I speak the same language, I mean, or the same, what can I say, the same message, different languages. And you speak of neuro-linguistic programming, neuro-associative conditioning, a lot of these terms, of course, to people who do not follow the personal development or who do not have an intellectual, a higher intellectual grade of essence or being. You know, when we're looking at, I guess, the everyday person who is busy running around, who's busy with ordinary life, you know, when you speak to these people, all of a sudden, all of these things are like, well, what are they talking about? You know, what do they mean? And you are able to take these things and these themes and these ideas that normally to people would be very difficult to understand, and you bring it down to a very easy to understand, you know, definition.
And that's the whole purpose. The whole prime object is, you know, I'm just like everybody else. I mean, I, you know, was, you know, 10 years ago driving a snowplow, and I don't get into the hero's journey because I don't think you need to really, you know, get into the hero's journey. But it's a lot, you know, people like to hear, oh, they were, you know, somebody came from here to that point. Oh, he was sleeping under the bridge, and now he's very successful. Then saying, oh, he was making $600,000 a year, now he's making $1 million. So the hero's journey has its place, but I don't like to discuss that because we tend to manifest whatever that we put out there. It almost is like, you know, if you go to start learning personal development, you have to go through some trials and tribulations before you can reach the peak, you know. So when I come from there, yes, I've been in those places. I don't like to discuss it as much because of the fact I don't want other people to think, well, I have to go get to the bottom before I can get to the top. That's not true. We can all get to the top right now if we can just start understanding these simple truths that are out there that we tend to overcomplicate as a species, and really get people focusing on what's important, and that is touching their true spiritual self, understanding what is going to bring them true happiness and peace, which is success. And that might not be a 5-bedroom house and a Ferrari. That just might be getting your 12-year-old daughter to talk to you again. You know, so we've got to start to understand what is very important, and then set our priorities based on that ability. And we can talk a little bit about ego if you want to, and why that separation has occurred and what's going on there.
Yes, please do.
Well, real quick, just to define ego, because, you know, we talk about this ego a lot. This isn't the Freudian big ego. That's not what we're talking about. I have a definition that I like to use, and this is a definition, I'll just say it, is the construction that has been created by culture, society, and experience and placed between your true self and the present moment. So basically, it's this material manifest or this place where we're at that has been constructed by society and our experience and our culture. It really isn't us. It's created some separation, but it's what we tend to have conditioned, and it's what makes us live the life that we are living. So what we've got to do is learn to understand that creation is not the critical creation. The creation that's most important is what we are and who we are, and to be able to separate from that. And we'll give you some tools as we talk through this call, through this interview, what, you know, some ideas that you can do that are very practical to get away from that ego.
And, you know, this morning I purposely went out there and I took, in reading your book, there's an exercise that you have, and I went out there and, what can I say, I subjected myself because I really wanted to see the effectiveness of what it was to go into your mind and then separate the mind from our essence, from our true essence, because you do a very good job at really outlining, you know, that context of what our brain is, what our head is, and what we hold in there, and, you know, and in relationship to the ego. And it was funny because the exercise that I did for myself, because I needed to, is I went outside and I started walking, and then I closed my eyes and I kept on walking, trusting that I wouldn't, of course, hit a tree or anything else. And as I walked, I could feel the difference between what my mind wanted to do, whereas before closing my eyes, I just kept on making anything I saw had a definition or had an impression or all of a sudden led me to a different thought or gave me a remark, whatever. I had so many distinctions just going through my mind while I'm walking. Once I closed my eyes, it was like all of a sudden the mind only had one purpose, and the purpose was to avoid hitting something. And in that moment, I started just really being present to what was around me. And all of a sudden, you know, you start hearing things, and you start just, you know, your mind goes into such a peace. And afterwards, what I did is I sat, and when I sat there to meditate, I just, any thought that came in, I attached the word thought. And as I continued, it just got slower and slower to a point where the thoughts weren't really coming in anymore. And you refer to an exercise that involves attaching that word to it in practice. Can you go into that a little?
Well, we try to give, again, this is about practical tools, and you've met me and you understand this. One of the differences I think I bring is I'm very practical. You know, this stuff has to be down to earth. We live in a very fast-paced world, so we all want to get, you know, deeper connected. We all want to have great things in our lives, and we all want to have this connection, but we also have our life to live. You know, so you've got to have real practical tools. And one of the tools I teach is the word meditation, which is a very simple way. And, you know, we all think when we hear meditation, you got to get in the lotus posture and do the om. But the reality of it is we just need to get some quiet time throughout our day so that we can disconnect and we can touch this power that's inside. So we use a technique called the word meditation, which you did a great job with. And basically, it's just getting out of mind and just allowing yourself to be aware of your observer self, which is the term I use for who you truly are, and allowing you to step back and watching the thoughts literally come into your mind, and then just saying thought or word, just one word that you choose every time that comes into your mind. Eckhart Tolle talks about this is a real good way to do it. He says, be like a cat watching the mouse coming out of the hole, like the Tom and Jerry, if you remember, and be like Tom watching Jerry coming out, and or if it's Jerry and Tom, I don't know which other one it is. But you just want to be you just want to observe your thoughts. And what happens is if you just think of a lake and you're tossing rocks in, and the rock is your thought, you know how the waves just kind of go and go as the rock comes in. Well, what we want to do is we just want to stop that and quiet the mind, get the lake placid, and just really be at peace. And you'll just notice the beauty and how things change around you as you become more present.
And that is so true, because when I did that this morning, I felt the disconnect between where I am used to being and where I am in the present time. And what you said, you know, with so many things that come into our lives, with so many stimuli and demands and to-dos, and all of a sudden that you as human beings, we lose our ability to, if we've ever found it, you know, we lose our ability to really be connected to that inner self, to that true self, to that power, to that, you know, I mean, I felt it. I felt it once. It was almost like, I think, you know, when people say nirvana, and you feel that you truly don't want to let go of that feeling. And it's not a feeling. It's a real manifestation of true energy.
Correct.
You know, it's, to me, it was just something that I'm like, no, you know, I want to stick with this. I want to stay. I don't want to go in. I don't want to do anything else. But it allowed me to, within my own, you know, the ensuing hours, it allowed me to see everything around me and observe people and situations in such a different way, kind of like on a detached way.
And that's a critical point. You know, a lot of this, again, we've got to be very practical. And, you know, we live in a material world. So, you know, we just can't go off in some meditative state and disappear. So what this does is it allows you to access that power. And in doing that, you're able to observe and aware what's important in your life at the present moment. And that's the critical point with the word meditation. A lot of things we do is to really get you to focus on what is going to bring you that feeling. What is going to bring you that peace? And then let's set our practical objectives and goals and our plan, do, act, checklist, all that practical stuff based on what it is that we found is going to bring us that true peace and happiness. And a lot of times we're so incongruent with what we truly want to bring into our life by what we think the ego and what we think we want to bring into our life and the incongruence in what we truly is going to bring us happiness. And when we can get that congruence going, then metaphysically the world just works, the universe just all comes together and starts to conspire to help us move forward.
Jamie, you are just so precise with saying that, how most of the times, oftentimes, we're not in congruency, and we find so many things to keep us from that, you know, that we really have to make an effort, a definite effort to say, okay, you know, who am I, what am I, what is it that I truly desire, you know, why is it that I, for example, when you talk about practical, you know, why is it that I want this job, or what is this job going to give me, and why should I wake up at 4 in the morning, and why should I come back at 11 o'clock at night, is it worth it for my family, for my kids, is it worth it for my well-being, for my health, And a lot of these things, you know, when I talk about personal development, they are tools, and they are, you know, when you're talking about the leaders before us and people who are our mentors, these people have gone through that journey and have come to a place in their lives where they're able to meet kind of themselves and match a distinction to their purpose. And this is where we can come in and say, okay, well, we see their success, we see what they believe in, we see how it's worked for them. Now let's use that to our benefit so that we can also be helped in our own journey in order to become that person of, you know, who is truly happy at the core based on what success means to that person.
Exactly, and that's a critical component. I mean, kind of what we're talking about is the history of personal development and that self-help area, which is a gigantic industry, as you know. And, you know, it started off with the positive attitude group and the William Otto Science of the Mind, you know, get yourself thinking positive. That was Ernest Holmes' Science of the Mind. William Otto wrote The Science of Getting Rich.
Mm-hmm.
But as those people in the early 1900s wrote those books, it really did start to change things. And later on, we got into neuro-linguistic programming, neuro-associative conditioning, and obviously Tony Robbins really brought that to the forefront, even though that wasn't his, you know, concept.
Yeah.
He had taken that concept and then just marketed it, and is a genius in doing so. And that came forward in the 80s and a little bit sooner. And we realize what's going on is the neuroplasticity of the brain changes, and there's a reason that all that stuff works. But it's time to break into the new area, and that new area really does contain this metaphysical component. So we understand we can use, exactly like you said, these tools, but we've got to also get the metaphysical component aligned and really make sure that we've got this whole package, because then it's just amazing. We've evolved as a species, and we are literally creating a life that we want, and we've really got to work in this area. And it's a little challenging because a lot of the reason people get in self-help is because it's ego-based. They want the bigger car. They want the bigger house. And I'm not here, this is not a hypocritical assault on materialism, because I'm as materialistic as anybody. You know, I'm looking at my first airplane, you know, I've got a nice house and a Jaguar, and, you know, I'm not going to give that up, shave my head, and go live on a mountain in search for peace. I mean, this is practical stuff that you can get to anywhere you want to go, but let's figure out where it is you want to go and why you want to go there first. And then, you know, move forward. And that's what we're talking about here. It's the progression of personal development. It's the next step that we need to take as a species in that arena, that personal development arena.
Now, you said the word metaphysical. This morning I went, took my Webster's Dictionary out, looked at metaphysics and understood the definition. But I would like for you to explain what metaphysics is.
Well, and I appreciate that, because it's a loaded term. It really is. And as you know with me, words limit meanings. I have a real problem with words. The Spanish language is so much better than the English language in description,
yeah.
And also other languages are. But when we put a word on something, we really label it. And one of the things that I like to teach people to do is take the words off of things. So go in nature and just walk around in non-judgment, and it really is a spiritual activity. But that being said, metaphysics is one of those words. If you go to higher academia and you talk to an academic about metaphysics, they will say it's a division of philosophy by Aristotle. And it's just that. It's just a philosophy and the study of being. Okay, so that's what an academic will tell you. Now, if you go to the world, in the pragmatic world, they're going to say it's the study of energy. It can encompass, psychics. It can encompass everything. So it's really a loaded term. When I speak about metaphysics, I speak about that energy and that deep spiritual being and the study of why we're here. And that's where I'm coming from, the definition of what metaphysical is. And I think that's what most people understand it. I do not go into any of the future lives or any of the past life stuff. I just stay in the very pragmatic human potential. What can I find that's going to help myself and other people grow in the metaphysical arena? So that's where I stay. But I think that's the best definition of the term, would be just a study of why the heck are we here?
Yeah. And what's so much fun about you is that you're able to take that, you mentioned it, that academia, because when it comes down to it, we are all spiritual beings. That is it. We're all the same when it comes down across the world, across the globe, in the billions of people that exist. You know, we all have that. I mean, I don't know anyone who really lives with three hearts. You know, we all have that one heart, that nervous system, that brain, and, you know, in our capacity to feel and to evolve, and like you said, you know, evolving as a species, you know, the human race, whether you're a man or a woman. You know, this is where, if we can make that distinction, like you said, where are we moving in the progression of humanity, you know, in this century, where are we, you know, I find that a lot, that our generation is one who's not really, a lot of people are not bringing about all of those prejudices that existed in the past. You know, we're all here, like whether you're wearing rings in your nose, whether you have a shaved head, whether you are Jewish or you are Catholic or you are Christian, whatever language you speak, at the end of the day, you know, life tends to, and evolution through it tends to lead us in the same journey, asking who are we? What are we here for? What's our ultimate purpose?
Exactly, and that's the beautiful thing. I mean, at the end of the day, it really is up to each individual person and what they're doing. And the judgment and the non-judgment is such a critical component in life. Again, it's got to be very practical as we go through life, but it's time to evolve as a species. I mean, one of my goals is to help that progression. You know, as I always say, I'm just a messenger, not the message for sure, but we're trying to get more of a message out there that, you know, there is no need for AIDS, there's no need for cancer, there's no need for hunger in this world with the intellectual capacity of our species as a whole right now, and war and all that other nasty stuff, and not judging any of that. It's just we have to evolve and move forward. Again, I'm very practical. I don't get into those gray areas, and I'm not going to sit here and go love and peace and happiness, even though I think those things are great. The bottom line is, let's get practical here. We have the capacity as our species to go forward and really make those changes. We have just got to evolve and cut through all the, you know, all the BS here that's stopping us from moving forward.
Now, do you find that people, the mass, the herd, do you find that people tend to be, they are desensitized? Do you feel they are apathetic? What do you think what is holding the majority back?
It's a great, great question. And this is a situation, it's holding us all back. It's holding me and you back. And it's the conditioning that we're getting from society and culture that is conditioning that ego. What we have to understand is the greatest psychologists in the world who have studied the mind, and you have to understand, I don't have a problem with psychology. I believe in Eastern and Western medicine. I think they both have their place. But you have to understand, just in the 50s, we were still doing frontal lobotomies and scrambling people's brains for the sake of good medicine. So, you know, we have got to start understanding that marketing people and psychologists are learning how to condition us to wear the clothes they want us to wear, look the way they want us to look, spend the money the way they want us to spend the money. That's all part of the machine, which is a great machine. I don't have any complaints. I'm an entrepreneur, but we just have to transcend that machine. We have to understand that we're getting bombarded by conditioning every day by what we read, what we take in, the news media, the resources, everything that we're bringing into our lives on a daily basis, the people around us, is conditioning us to live and be a certain way. It's getting into our core being, and that's what's slowing us down. That's the progression right there. It's the conditioning that the mass, or the herd, as you say, is getting on a day-in and day-out basis that's really stopping our growth.
And how do you see evolution in this sector?
Well, I think what we've got to do is we've got to help each other awaken from the dream, is what I say. I mean, you can go watch a movie, that's fine. You can go do these things and watch TV, but we've got to make massive shifts at the change. You know, I do Morning Coach every day, and it's something I'll mention. We do morningcoach.com, and the reason we do that is because we get 15 minutes of quality personal development in the morning to get people thinking differently. That's the whole key here, is to create an awareness level that, wait a minute, you know what, you're right. We are being conditioned. We are being subjected to tons of negative news, which is making me think this way and creating the world that's around me. I am rushing to the store on Black Friday and standing at line at 4 in the morning to get into a store to get a sale. You know, what? There's some conditioning going on. Is that really, why am I doing the things that I am doing? Why am I in the position that I am? Is it because I'm getting where am I getting my information from? That's the critical component. And we can start to re-educate. We can start to change that. And again, this goes back to what we're finding in neurosurgery, and the neurosurgeons are finding the brain literally can change shape and can start to shift, and we can start to think entirely different. And that's the key to our evolution. You know, Einstein says today's problems cannot be solved with the same level of thinking that caused those problems. Einstein's a heck of a lot smarter than me. What he's saying there is we have to start thinking differently, and that is, as an entire species, Jung talks about the collective consciousness, which is a loaded term again, but getting the whole entire world to change or getting a large percentage of the world to change the way they think will cause a shift in our evolution.
And you know what, this is it's special that you mentioned Einstein and Carl Jung, because a lot of people, you know, when we talk about society, the minute they hear certain terms or certain names of certain eras, right away they'll shun away, they'll go away because it's too much, you know, too much of a term for them to consider, and immediately no one wants to be, you know, deemed as stupid or not knowledgeable, and people will refuse to listen simply because they are afraid. They're afraid to say, well, let me go in there, and I think, you know, in the past, like you mentioned Tony has taken all of these different people and he studied them, researched them, and then took out, you know, what was essential and then reconstructed it to be given to people in very layman terms, and that's why, you know, he has such success with being able to help people recognize what our mind does and how it is that, you know, behavioral psychology, et cetera, in very real terms, you know, very pragmatic terms, very practical terms. And, you know, this is where I notice a lot of the people tend to really, they all of a sudden they go into their ego and they react because they don't know. And they are afraid, and rather than investigating or rather than being flexible and allowing themselves to listen, right away they close off to the information and say, well, that's not for me. You know what? Hocus pocus or whatever it is they want to process.
Well, it's a lot. It's that gray area again. I mean, it's like, you know, when you see somebody drive a Mercedes, and if you don't have the ability to buy it, you say, oh, I don't like that car anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just one of those reactions, you know. It's one of those things where people say, I don't need personal development. I don't need to grow as a person. Or somebody gets a college degree and says, I don't need any more education. I deserve to make, you know, that entitlement, $100,000 a year because I got a college education. You know, this is all that stuff is good and great, but it's all from ego. At the end of the day, if you just want to go live out in the desert, good for you. Whatever you want to do, it's your life experience. And so we've got to use those tools to help people move forward. And to get to the masses, it's just a timing thing before they're going to wake up, whether it's a death in the family or, you know, something happens. Some people don't even wake up till they're on their deathbed, and they look up at 78 years old, and they look up and they say, geez, you know, there's three people here. Where did my life go? You know, we have got to help people wake up before then and really just open up to this just great world of potential that's just out there. And just a quick note on there, you know, we talk about abundance, and I teach abundance a lot because abundance is a really critical component. It's an area that a lot of people have issues with, specifically financial abundance. But in this country specifically, you know, we'll take somebody like Bill Gates and Microsoft and turn them into the devil because they've created a company that's generating millions of dollars. And yeah, they've done some things that aren't, you know, maybe are not scrupulous. But the bottom line is we should celebrate success instead of crucify success. You know, Google is another great example. We're starting to crucify the owners of Google because they're making too much money. Well, wait a minute here. I can go to my computer and I can search for the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins that had 16 interceptions in 1973 and find the information in a minute for free. So we need to celebrate the champions. And see, that's part of just changing your thought process about abundance. Tony Robbins, a lot of people say, oh, he's made so much money, he sold so many books. But look at how many people he's helped. And, you know, let's celebrate his greatness. And see, that's a difference in the shift of thinking. And as you start to think that way, all of a sudden you will start to create more abundance in your life because you've shifted your way of thinking.
And I think that you're hitting upon something that I believe is in our generation is prevalent, and people are really recognizing the power of leveraging, the power of in business, you know, being able to come across, and it's no longer about competition, but it's friendly competition. Like, what can we do together? And let me study that person that's my competitor. What are they doing that I'm not doing? Or how can we come together? And how can they deliver something that they specialize in? And what can I do? And how can we go forward? And I really feel, and of course you would know a lot more of this because you're involved in that, in the whole marketing aspect, and specifically dealing with internet media, and I mean in internet marketing. There is so much that I think a lot of people are getting, are really becoming aware, especially the social entrepreneurs who say, you know, it's just the mindset of thinking that's going to shape our future. It's no longer even Bill Gates. I mean, he said it a few months back in one of his conferences where he had never looked at contribution the same way as he looked at it now. You know, he said for all his life he worked and he created money and he made money, and he really had never taken the time to look elsewhere. And the same as Warren Buffett, you know, he went and gave his money to you know, he gave that away for philanthropy. And I really have come across a lot of people internationally who are stepping up and saying, you know, it's going to be that mindset and it's that contribution that we do together for society that's going to create the new level of awareness and the new level of success.
Well, and just on a very personal note, I mean, the thing that we have to understand is that true wealth comes from creativity. It doesn't come from competition. To create true wealth is that idea, that strength of a group coming together and then generating wealth based upon an idea. And so this goes back all the way back to what we started talking about, is that we've got to, you know, in order to contribute and do the things that you're talking about right now, we've got to be able to manifest and be able to move forward. And to do that, we've got to have creative ideas. We never know when the idea is going to come that's going to change your life. It can come in any instant. But if we're so caught up in ego and so caught up sitting at 4 a.m. to get into a store, that it can just pass you by. So the critical component is, once again, getting out of ego and allowing those ideas to come to you that really can shape or shift your life. And then doing the things that Tony says and everybody else, and take massive action and go out and start living your life and get out of that fear. So just to circle all the way back around, all this comes back to each individual person allowing themselves to get out of this egoic state, this material world we live in, and start, you know, living an amazing life. And believe me, this is, I don't want to affirm this, but it's not easy. I get stuck in this cycle every day, and I teach this stuff. So we've really got to learn to work and do it on a daily basis. It does take some work, but when you start to do it, it's just amazing. It's amazing that you start to realize every morning when you open the door, you're opening the door to huge, pure potential, and that's exciting.
I know, I feel it, because in meeting you, that's what you have. You carry that forward, you wear it, you know, you're imbued in it, and it really is magnificent, because there's so much excitement, there's so much energy in there, and there's a lot of, you know, you're a very busy person, and I don't even like to say the word busy, but you are just continuously creating. You're on a continual, you know, just your flow. You just see, you know, you're on a constant zone. You're in the zone, because the zone truly is where you are manifesting what your ideals.
Well, we've got to make sure that we don't get caught up in our normal excuses. I mean, just myself, for example, I have the holdings company that we literally have a maid service, believe it or not, that we run. It's gigantic here in South Florida. I don't have anything to do with the business, even though it's in my business. You know, we have an internet marketing company and a marketing company that I have a few partners in that started. We've got Morning Coach, and I do a live call every day at 7:45 and again at 10:45 every morning. And I've got my company, which is a speaking and consulting business that I'm completely busy doing. And those things, I just don't allow those distractions to come. So I have 4 corporations that I'm basically running concurrently at the same time. And I know that goes against a little bit of the focus factor, but I've got a lot going on. And you know what? You just got to go out and do it and live your life and be happy. Now, this comes from somebody, and again, no hero's journey here, but just 12 years ago, I was driving a snowplow in Indiana, and it just, all this personal development, all this study, going back to school at night to finish first my bachelor's degree, then to get my master's degree, then to get my PhD, while everybody else was doing something else. In the course of those 12 years, I was able to transform my life to the CEO level. And not only that, from a pragmatic stance, raise myself up to run an aerospace company, leave that and start all my other companies. And I'm still only 38 years old. So it's a matter of believing in the metaphysical ideas of what's out there and not getting caught up in all the minutiae that's holding us back. And you can do it. Now, have I had my issues along the way? Yes, I have more issues now than I've ever had in my entire life. Believe me, life was a lot simpler driving the snowplow. And the point is, I was extremely happy then, and I'm extremely happy now, but I'm more happy now with the level of problems that I have, because life is bringing me so much more, and I'm being able to contribute so much more. But we just got to go out there and do it. That's the key thing.
See, it's very key that you say, that you speak of life and the challenges that you have now, but the level of challenges and also the level of fulfillment is different than when you are in a place where you are completely not being who you're meant to be, you know,
yeah, exactly.
Or resourceful.
Well, and people say you got to pay the price. I don't believe in that. You know, you've got to enjoy the price. And as you move forward, you're enjoying it, you know, and that's the key. I'm enjoying the price, and I'm sure I'm going to have other enjoyments here in my life. But that's just a totally different perspective in the way of thinking. And people say, oh, Jimmy, come on, that's too positive. I can't think positive. Well, that's a bunch of bunk. You can think positive. Why can't you go out and love life no matter what situation you're in? And I know there's some pretty dire ones out there, but I've met people that have one arm that, you know, have said, you know what, if I had my arm, I wouldn't be the person I am today. You know, Christopher Reeves, who's passed, who's just amazing, got kicked off a horse and broke his neck, literally had his head almost chopped off and was survived, you know, paralyzed from the neck down. And he said, you know what, if that event wouldn't have happened, his life would not be the same. He was literally happy that event happened. We have got to get out of this victim mentality and the way that we constantly think that things are happening to us. They're going to happen either way. You know, it's like a football player when he goes across the middle and he gets hit and drops the ball. You know, you might as well catch it. You're going to get hit anyways. So we got to learn to just love it. Love life, and all of a sudden, everything else starts to change.
See, JB, I want to laugh because I, you know, I'm looking at your book, and I have a few pages that I said, okay, I'm going to read this while he's on the air. And I just from what you're saying, the hero's journey. You know, no person who sits out there and says, okay, you know, I can't be the victim. It hurts at the moment when it's happening, but you just choose to not dwell in there. And in retrospect, it's kind of like, you know, okay, you know, you'll say that you don't have to suffer, but in order to grow and in order to really exert who you truly are, you will go through challenges that usually are growing pains, and they usually do, you know, hit you where it really hurts. And, you know, I want to read this because it just, I see it, I can envision it, I put myself there in the way that you wrote it, and I know that it's, you know, it's when it happened, it wasn't funny. But now that, in the way that you set your book up, you throw in a lot of things that are monumental in their own experience, but yeah, you just kind of just throw it in there and move on forward, and it's funny to look at that. So I really urge the listeners to get your book, Get Out of Neutral, Manifest the Life Experience You Desire. And I know that this book you can get directly on your website, correct?
Yeah, you can get it there, you can get it on Amazon, or you can get it on morningcoach.com too. You can sign up at morningcoach.com and it's there.
Okay, excellent. Well, I want to read this on page 19, and you know, you'll probably laugh as well when I start reading it. It says, "Oh," and this is telling the story of when you first took your, when you graduated and you were going into Arizona and you had your first job, and how, you know, how basically you went from having $500 to having like basically not even 99 cents. And this is the last blow that really, you know, that really, really impressed your purpose. And it starts, it says, all that plus I've got to open the club. I cried. I had to get out. I took a gulp of night air and walked. I only made it about a block before I was overwhelmed by the pain and loneliness. There was a bench in front of Orange Grove Middle School. I sat down and let the waves of grief pass over me. I knew that I had to get to the club, but the blow was just too great. Somehow, something whispered in my ear, go back to the car. It was a compulsion. I found myself wiping back my tears, getting off that bench and walking back to my car. In the passenger seat was my green writing book. I grabbed it and the pen stuck on the side. Success journal, read my scroll. Success journal, I snapped, yeah, right. I'm such a great success, such a wonderful success. What do you feel, or how do you feel now when you look back and you envision that once again?
Well, it's just it's amazing. It is kind of comical, but it was such a big transformation in my life. You know, that success journal, that journal was so critical to everything in my life. And it was just amazing. Even then, you know, I used to write all those things on the board, and I used to scream at those people and say, you know, when is my life going to change? Zig or Tony Robbins or all these things that I was putting into my mind. You know, when you don't have any money and you don't have a vehicle and you don't have anything, you know, you really start to think this stuff is just a bunch of you-know-what, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not. It's not. You've just got to keep going, because that day was the day that really changed it. You know, when I was able to go back and grab that book and then write in there and think, you know, my next step is, as I was crying there on that bench, thinking, you know, it's over. You know, when I wrote What Would a Winner Do, that didn't come from me. That came from all that personal development and studying. And literally everything shifted there. I changed from a person that, you know, put myself through my bachelor's, which isn't in there, driving a snowplow, lived in a trailer, believe it or not, and then, you know, got out to Tucson and really struggled. I changed that day. And it was just this all this information that I gathered over time that came through me to allow myself to move forward and have that belief.
Now, do you feel that it is the study that one does to prepare one for that moment, for such a moment where the hero must stand up and say, okay, am I going to choose to be a victim, or am I going to walk out of this and just go forward with my life? Or do you think that is something even bigger? Is it something that is taught, or is it something that one is born with?
It's something bigger, and it comes from constant personal development. As you know, you know Tony Robbins calls it Kanai. It comes from everywhere. Most teachers say 30 minutes of personal development every day. That's why I started Morning Coach, because I do Morning Coach more for me than I do for anybody else, because every morning I have to get up and I have to study personal development before I do a 50-minute call. You know, and it's that constant growth. That's the secret. I mean, the secret, yeah, there's the law of attraction, and the movie did great, and that's all good and great, but the real secret behind the secret is getting to know what you really want to bring into your life and then doing the constant development on a daily basis, because then the law of attraction just works. It's a law. You don't have to figure it out. It's a law. It's going to work, but we've got to do the daily stuff every day to get ourselves thinking differently. It's all thinking differently. I mean, I'm getting ready to look at a plane that I'm getting ready to purchase, and literally, I can purchase that plane for no money. And I know everybody's going, oh, my gosh, you can't, how could you purchase a plane for no money? Because I'm going to lease it back to the flight school. They're going to pay me to have the airplane. So it's amazing that as you develop this abundance mentality, as you start to live this life experience, it's amazing, you start to think differently. I was in aerospace for 12 years, and I never thought that I could go buy a plane for free. And I know most people listening on the call are probably going, it's crazy. There's no way you can get a plane for free. But you can. And people that are manifesting and really experiencing life are starting to figure out it's all about belief, and it's all about being creative, and it's all about thinking differently.
You know, and it's all in the mindset. If, again, it's if you can believe it, you can become it. If you can hold that picture in your mind already sees the picture, therefore it's already lived it. And it's true, and it's what you brought about. You know, that's that constant, the continuous, the sustainability, because when it's time for you to stand up, that's when you will really, I think it all comes into, you know, it's either desperation or an inspiration, and, you know, when it's your time to shine, there's a saying that says there's nothing stronger than an idea whose time has come.
Yeah, it's about belief. It really is. You know, all those things happen because you truly believe it. And we can all sit here and talk about it very pragmatically, that the reason that most people don't have the greater things in their life is because they do not believe in their heart that they're going to achieve them. You know, and that's the most critical component. You have to believe in your self-value. And just to get a little bit offensive and maybe make people angry right now, first thing you have to do is you've got to take a look in your mirror and look at how you're treating your body and yourself. Because if you have a $1 million racehorse, okay, and you went and bought this racehorse and you're going to take him out and race him, you would not be putting coffee, alcohol, and fast food down his throat. So all of a sudden, if you're not taking care of yourself and looking in the mirror and appreciating and valuing your own self just to start all this off and willing to get the education to better yourself, you're already hampering your success, quote unquote, whatever that word means to you, because you don't believe in the value of yourself. So we have to start right there. Even before we get into ego, we've got to show that we value ourselves, that we have this $1 billion body, that we have this $1 billion life. And until we start living that way, we can't get any congruence as far as moving forward.
And you know what? This weekend, I actually sat at a park and I listened to a mother talking to her. She had about 3 kids, and one of them, the oldest one, he was about 14 years old. She asked them, "Would you like to go see the bodies exhibition?" I think a lot of the people on the listeners will know what I'm talking about. And do you know it?
I'm not familiar with it, and I should probably, but I am not.
Well, it's been around now, I guess, for about 2 years, if I'm not mistaken, but they've actually taken these bodies, and when you go to see the exhibition, it's an incredible, incredible, you know, I mean, it's just an amazing show that they've developed, and they've taken the bodies, and they've actually opened it up so you can actually see the entire internal, you know, system, and it's embodies in motion, and it's just amazing. So this mother's telling this kid that she's going to take him, and his attitude, he was just so disgruntled. He was like, why do I want to go see some stupid lungs? You know, and he kept on just complaining about that, and then he said, that's not how I want to spend my Monday afternoon. And, you know, and the mom really didn't have anything back to say. And immediately I said, well, there's one thing that, number one, as a mom, she could do. She could bring a level of awareness and consciousness to him and tell him and share with him, you know, the potency of the body, the fact that he has lungs to breathe, where other people are dying of emphysema, dying of cancer, dying of so many things. Or take this kid, instead of taking him to the museum, take him to a hospital. You know, take him to an orphanage. Share with him something that's going to shift his mind, because here at 15 years old or 14 years old, he's already destined for a life where he's not going to care about anything that comes into his life. And I could tell that he was from a level of, you know, a socioeconomic level that was higher than most.
Yeah, and, well, you're exactly right. We're already sabotaging ourselves by the way we treat ourselves. And I agree with you 100%. I'll definitely have to put that on my list to check out here in the real near future.
Yeah, but it's, you know, to me it's just, you know, there were so many opportunities for this mom to go in there and shift the kid's, you know, mindset. But if her mindset's not even there because it totally went over her head, then how can she be a model or a role for her child?
You're exactly right. And when we come to parenting, the key is we're a mirror, the children of a mirror of ourselves. So we've really got to lead by example and really take care of ourselves and do those things, because that's really going to make the difference. And she, you know, it's not even something that she should say. She should be excited about it. Let's go. We're going money. This is going to be so great. You know, we're going, and just be excited and go. They don't have a say in it. You're 14. You're going.
And it's, you know what, and it because for me, and when I, Power to Be You, when I talk, you know, a lot of it has to deal with kids, with getting to our kids and helping ourselves so we can eventually help our children. And, you know, our generation, especially if we're parents and if we're mentors and we're going out there in society, we always have an opportunity to make a difference in someone's life, to share, to bring a different distinction to them, you know, to say, listen, this is not how you have to get stuck, you know, victimization. What can I share with you to help you move forward in your own journey? And, you know, it is so essential that truly we become conscious, and that we really, you know, whomever you need to go to and whatever it is that you need to do in order to grow, you know, you owe it to yourself, because as human beings, that is our purpose, to evolve, to grow. And I think that's what causes a lot of frustration with people when, because of their mindset, they do not do what inherently their body is telling them to do.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And that's why as a species, you know, we have to, or as teachers and leaders, we have to go out and create more abundance, not only for ourselves, but everybody else, because we lead by example. And that's really the key. I mean, I talk to some parents and we talk about not lying and being honest and having that integrity, but then they'll yell at their kids and say, who's on the phone? Is the phone ringing? They'll say, oh, it's Aunt Al. And, oh, tell them I'm not here. Tell them I'm not here. You know, these little things, it's not the big things. It's these little things that we always do. So when the kid comes home and wants to go spend a night at a friend's and go party, instead of telling the truth, they're going to lie, because, you know, they've been around lying their entire life. Something just so little as saying, you know, hey, tell them I'm not here. Tell them I'm not here. You know, we've really got to be, watch the example that we're setting. And it's not only with children, but it's for the rest of the world. And that's what I'm learning. You know, you've got to go out and be a good example. And doing that, you've got to be honest. You've got to admit your mistakes. People got to see that you're human. And children got to see that too. But you've really got to show enthusiasm, excitement for what's important. And that's valuing yourself. First and foremost, start to really understand that you have a billion-dollar body, you have a billion-dollar soul, that you're a spiritual being living in a material world, and you deserve to manifest greatness. And that's the first step that we got to take. And then it all comes from there.
Oh, I love that. I want to read this. This is what I initially intended to read, so I'd like to share this with the audience, and it's page 64 of your book. A human being created during the miracle of birth is a small piece of the Creator. God is materially manifest through this miracle. You, the human being, have been equipped with the mind, which I called the ego here, the soul, which I called the observer, and the body. You have forgotten who you are and have been separated from God. Why are we here? We are here to experience everything that is in life, everything that is life. We are here to discover everything about life. We are consciousness. We are pieces of God's consciousness. This separation from omniscience, from the all-knowing, from the all, allows us to experience love. It allows us to experience pain and joy. It allows us to experience fulfillment and meaning. Why are we here? We are here to experience life. We are here to create in love. Why are we here? We are here to help each other remember the miracle of who we are. We are here to remember that we are co-creators of this universe with God. We are here to fall asleep and then awaken. Unfortunately, so many of us don't awaken. That's very much, I think that's, you know, that's right there in the smack middle of, you know, your message.
Yeah, it's time to wake up. It really is. I mean, I get really deep, as you can see, but it's time to wake up. Let's go enjoy life.
So tell me, what are you planning now to do? What 2008, what does this hold for you?
Well, my big thing is seriously, I've talked about Morning Coach a lot, and if mm-hmm. anybody wants to get on there, it's www.morningcoach.com. It's a free site that we're using to really make a shift in people, and we really want to see that grow and create some consciousness in that area. And 2008, we're just going to go out there and really make it happen. I mean, we're just going to keep moving on this evolution. I'm just going to continue to love life. Because at the end of the day, the more I realize, you know, I'm just going to be thankful and be happy and go out there and do whatever I can. That's what 2008 is going to be for me.
And by the way, your Morning Coach show, it's also a podcast, and it's number 2 in the world as downloads?
Yes, and self-help. It's great. We've had tremendous growth. It's number 2 in the world, and you can find it on iTunes under Morning Coach. So it's really easy to remember. It's the website Morning Coach, www.morningcoach.com. And then at iTunes, Morning Coach.
And how else can the audience reach you?
They can go to my website at glossinger.com, which is just my last name, GLOSSINGER.com. That's a real easy way. But the best way is either through Morning Coach or glossinger.com. They can get me either place there.
Excellent, JB. Well, thank you. We've come up on the hour, and I am just so appreciative of you coming in, sharing what you have, and I look forward to going forward with you in bringing this awareness to our families.
No problem. You're wonderful, and thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, JB. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is today's show on Blog Talk Radio, Power to Be You. I do hope that we've been able to share with you a facet of our lives that truly means the world. It means the world because we are reaching out, believing that we have something within us to share and to help you manifest who you truly want to be and just to share with you distinctions that could make a difference in your future, in your purpose, in your life, in your present. And it is my wish to just be able to be a part of helping this world grow. And I will do this with forever, with all my intention, my love, and my desire to contribute from the heart through clarity, distinctions, and love. And until Tuesday, once again, this is Sandra Bueno signing off.